It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
It is game day for the Atlanta Falcons, and today another key conference game, home against the Seattle Seahawks. And welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. We are live on a very chilly morning, Joe, here at Lot 432 off Northside. What's the cross street again, Markham?
Markham and Northside. That's where we are.
You got to mark them. You got to mark them
That's
where
right.
we are. Exactly. Well, Joe, here it is. It is another game day at Mercedes-Benz. And we wake up this morning, and the Falcons, Joe, they're going. Well, let's start with this. How about a sweep of the South?
Yeah.
Back to back to back. 4-2, first place. 4-0 in conference. 3-0 in the division. And they're going for four wins in a row.
It's kind of the way that everybody drew it up before the season. Every Falcons fan, I think, would have told you they ideally want to be 4-2 at this point. Now, I don't think it happened the way that a lot of us anticipated, with them losing their opener here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to the Steelers, but then going on the road and beating the Philadelphia Eagles in dramatic fashion on Monday Night Football. But the season has obviously had its twists and turns. But, hey, you get to this point in the season, and you're right where you want to be. And not only are you where you want to be record-wise, but I think – the trajectory of the offense is also exactly where Falcons fans hoped it would be, with basically a top 10 offense in the NFL kind of carrying this team. Now, we do need to see the defense kind of come around and contribute to the success, but I think you have to be very pleased with where this Falcons team is right now.
Yeah, we'll get into all the particulars as we begin to break it down on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We're out here enjoying all the smells already. They ferreted up early. You could tell that this is going to be a case where, you know, this team is grabbed. That's one of the things that's true. I mean, Brave season is over. Hawks haven't begun yet. I know they're in preseason. Congrats to Atlanta for making the playoffs with that win last night. But the fact is, this team has captured the imagination of this city.
Yeah.
And you got to capitalize on that. It's been a while since they've really kind of captured the imagination of the town. It may be back to 2016/2017 before they really had the town's full attention, and they do now.
Totally. And it's so fun to see, because it's what I remember as a Falcons fan. It's what, you know, drew me in as a kid, and just seeing the way that the town kind of comes alive when there's a real confidence that the fans have in the team. And I think that that's really built, and it stems from Kirk Cousins. And, you know, the interesting thing on that note is he's talked about this before, but, you know, he said that there was a quarterback that he talked to, but when he was deciding on what team he wanted to go to when he's in free agency, who was kind of giving him some guidance on where would you go that where it would mean the most to win of the places you could potentially go. And Atlanta was the one that he said that quarterback recommended. I know who it is, but I don't want to say it publicly, but it was a very esteemed quarterback. Let's put it that way. And, man, it's kind of coming true. He is capturing the imagination of this Falcons fan base with the things that he's saying in press conferences, to the way that he's playing on the field, most of all, is most
swag
important.
Swag surfing. And
yeah, exactly. All that stuff. But also, he is making a star out of some of these receivers, some of these skill players. Like Drake London is emerging as one of the best receivers in the NFL this year, which is great to see. Darnell Mooney obviously has produced big, but part of that, big reason of that, is because of Kirk Cousins. So his ability to distribute the ball around to all these pieces is what we've all kind of been waiting to see from the quarterback position here.
Yeah, and then being able to set up the run game to where the Falcons have, I mean, I'd have to think about it right now without Christian McCaffrey. Do the Falcons have the best 1-2 punch at running back in the league?
Yeah. Probably. It feels like this team, you know, if they were to get the block, they could just run it every single play. With these two guys, you got, you know, two backs, so you can just rotate in and out. And with two of them there, like Kirk said, it's not just about running the ball. It's about playing the running back position, which involves blocking and all that, and they're both great.
You know, it sort of reminds me a little bit, the running back situation, of the San Diego Chargers when they had LaDainian Tomlinson and their backup was a guy named Michael Turner.
Oh, yeah.
And Turner, everybody in San Diego was saying, you know, Michael Turner's already won on right. Like half the, and then he came here, and look what he did here.
And kind of a similar style back, yeah. Turner and Algier. And you do wonder if Algier, you know, we'll see, it's projecting into the future, but, you know, what happens to him after his rookie contract. He could be turning himself into prime back for, you know, another team in the future. But for right now, Falcons are happy to have him.
How many running backs in the league make that run that he made, that 18-yard run he made last week?
Oh,
how many in the league actually do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he has such unique power and speed combo. Like, I think his speed is actually underplayed. I know that run that you're talking about is one that was just pure effort, and the offensive line also has a part in that.
Yeah,
they just kept pushing the pile down the field. And that's the kind of stuff that gets an offense so charged up. But he can create explosives, too. Like, I feel like, you know, there's the lightning and thunder kind of, you know, that's what people talk about when you think about these kinds of players. But, you know, Algier, he hits the holes with speed, and he can break through arm tackles. He's got that low center of gravity. He's like a box. When you see him in person, he's just like his physique. You can see why he's so difficult to tackle, because he's just kind of thick all over the place. And when you got that kind of mass coming at you with that kind of speed, it's just hard to stop. And that's physics. And Tyler Algier uses it to his advantage.
It is the Wait For Tailgate Show on this Falcons Football Sunday, brought to you in part by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. John Fricke and Joe Patrick outside on a day that feels like a football Sunday.
Oh, it's perfect. This is football weather right here.
It is football weather right here, absolutely. And we'll get into the particulars of the game a little bit, leading you to the pregame show. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson at 11, and then, of course, Wes Durham and Dave Archer on the call. 1 o'clock kick today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But before we get into all kind of the X's and the O's and the whatnots, I'm more curious just to, as we have at the beginning of the show here, Joe, talk a little bit about the team broadly. I find it interesting that nobody on my timeline mentions the name Michael Penix.
Yeah,
good point. And people are like, oh, that's right, he's still on the team.
Right, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, you know, and it's interesting. We talked to him this week just because the Falcons will be going up against his former offensive coordinator at Washington and Ryan Grubb, who's mm-hmm. the OC here in Seattle. And but, you know, he's just so laid back. I was just struck after talking to him about how there's no ego about the guy, and kind of the perfect personality temperament for a quarterback to have that's in his position. But, no, you're totally right. I think that a lot of us were anticipating there being a big debate, maybe like a schism of some sorts between the fan base if things weren't going well at this point. But again, it speaks to the level of play that Kirk Cousins has shown and the confidence that fans have in him to be able to be the one that can drive this team, you know, down the field, but also throughout the season, the ups and downs of the season. I think what he provides for the team mentally also is so important, the way that he keeps them with an even head going into these games and going for their fourth straight win here today. That's something they haven't done since 2019. It's also the last time they had won three straight in a row, which they successfully did by beating the Carolina Panthers last week. But a lot of those players will reference Kirk Cousins as being one of the ones who's kind of keeps them in the right mindset to, you know, start a new week fresh and just attack that week as its own entity.
You know, it goes with the territory that as a head coach, if you're winning, you're the great head coach. If you're not, you're not. Dan Quinn was a guy that took you to a Super Bowl and then was suddenly persona non grata a few years later because guess what? He wasn't winning.
Yeah.
And Mike Norvell at Florida State went from 13-0 to 1-6. He went from, like, let's give him an extension to keep him here forever to let's fire the guy 8 games later. But having said that, I will say Raheem Morris has really done a good job. You know, I think when it was first announced, I was really kind of like, oh, and then I went, oh, I kind of see this. And I think more than just the record, I just his persona has really started to kind of infuse itself within this team to a point where when they play those 5 straight close games, they don't stop. I mean, it's just, you know, kind of indicative of, you know, hey, listen, we'll go out and do business, and we're a good team. Believe in yourself. He's instilled this kind of confidence level in the club that I haven't seen in a long time.
Totally, totally. And he carries such the players believe in him. You know, he's been around the game for so long. He's been around such great coaches, and he's brought in great coaches, frankly, to this Falcon staff. And there's just a belief amongst the players and the staff that they're going to be able to do this thing. And you know, I think a lot of the fans see a lot of the swagger, so to speak, the bravado, you know, the kind of stuff that he says in the locker room. And that's great. And, you know, that is definitely a part of what he brings to the team. But I think I will continue to say this. It's undersold just how intelligent of a football coach he is. He's been around. He's been part of some of the best coaching staffs of the modern era, especially if you go back to his Washington days. But just such a bright football mind who's open to new ideas. I was actually asking Zach Robinson about this and the way that he is able to impart his ideas on the coaching staff without them feeling like they're being controlled or that he's kind of influencing them too much. And there's just a really nice balance there.
All right, but go to the Zach Robinson card. Have you seen him start to maybe settle down? And I mean, that's an unfair thing. I haven't, because I, you know, my restrictions, I haven't actually met the man. But I mean, when I say settle down, to settle into this kind of, okay, I understand this a little bit more. Is he starting to see things a little? I don't, maybe I'm being unfair.
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are at all. I mean, I think it's totally natural or understandable for an offensive coordinator who's calling plays for the first time in his career to, you know, have some bumps in the road and for maybe to be a little bit over. First of all, Zach Robinson knows more about, or has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. So I just want to throw that out there. But maybe overthinking some aspects of games, especially early in the season. He talked about, you know, that game plan that they had for the Steelers. Kind of, they were really focused on trying to keep tabs on T.J. Watt and make sure they had blockers there, and on the other edge, Alex Highsmith, just because those players are so good and so effective at pressuring the quarterback. And obviously, they weren't even able to do that while also adapting their plan around that. So I think that he's found a confidence in this team that he can kind of – he can impose himself, and the Falcons can impose their own style of play on the opponent. They don't necessarily have to be so reactive to what the defense is presenting, and I think we're just starting to see more and more of that over the last 3 weeks especially.
Yeah, that's, I think, the biggest key is, can you make them adjust to you?
Yeah.
And you dictate. Last week had to be a breath of fresh air for this team because it was the first time this year that they weren't in a game that went down to the wire, and their ability to pull away. It seems to me that in years past, notwithstanding the fact that the last two trips they had to Carolina were, you know, the hand grenade from the noodle arm quitter and then DoorDash Dez throwing it to a wide open safety, that this team got its footing and then went, oh, look, it was almost like something went off of, hey, wait, we're the better team. Well, that's just,
right,
let's just talk. Okay.
Right.
All right, then we're done with this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that also, because they've been able to impose themselves a little bit more, they have more of the ball, they're able to just call more plays. And when you can call more plays as a play caller, you can start to develop a rhythm in terms of, you know, setting up a team, and then getting them and then punishing them when they kind of overcommit to something. So I think that Zach has also found that kind of flow with just the improvement of the offense overall. So I think from all aspects, this offense has just continued to improve and improve. And, you know, you would expect that to just continue, especially if they get guys back. Actually, they've had some injuries on the offense when you talk about Drew Dahlman having been out. McGarry's missed some time. So they've actually been missing some pieces. I don't even know if Bijan has been fully healthy for a lot of these games, and they've still been able to continue to improve on the offensive side.
Yeah, I actually said that. I don't think Bijan, I mean, he had a play, it was week before, where he cut into the hole and he was one-on-one with the safety. And normal Bijan is putting his foot in the ground and making that guy twist and blow him by him.
Yeah.
And that could have been a 50-yard touchdown. And instead, he kind of went straight forward and like he couldn't make that kind of move.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that in his arsenal suddenly. And I went, all right, that's not the Bijan that I saw in his rookie year. That Bijan would have gone, juk, by, you know. And this guy couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think – I've wondered if he's actually – truly 100-100. I mean, he's 100% to be able to play, but he's 100% Bijan Robinson. That I don't know.
Yeah.
And so maybe that'll come with the course of time here. But it is the Atlanta Falcons and the Seattle Seahawks today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Our coverage begins now as the Wait For It Tailgate Show continues. And as we do, coming up, we're going to get into Joe's brain a little bit. We'll have the injury report. We'll talk to you about what's going on in the NFL. There's a game that's about to kick off in Britain, unfortunately for the fans of Britain, because this is about as bad an NFL game as you could possibly ever want to see, you know, with the Patriots
Give
and Jaguars. No kidding. Hey, what are the two worst teams that we could send to Britain just so we can show off the league? Oh, my God. Hey, nonetheless, they're going to have 9:30 football over there in England today. So we'll keep you updated on that, and we'll go around the NFL as well. And a lot going on today on the Wait For It Tailgate Show live from lot 432, again, Northside Drive and Markham on kind of the south side of the stadium.
That's right.
That's where
yep.
we are.
Yep, yep, yep. Southwest yeah, side. Yeah, right, yep. Yeah. Southwest corner.
Yeah, right, yeah, a couple of blocks this side of Friendship Tower. Friendship Tower is a big brown brick tower across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're here with the W Sauce. We're here with B103. And all your favorite people, come on by if you're in the area. Say hi as we get you ready for Falcons football today against the Seattle Seahawks. When we get back in a moment, we're going to talk about what Jimmy Lake said about the pass rush and get Joe's thoughts about that next. On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a Falcons Football Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't have a game without a tailgate party.
Perfect. There you go.
The Wait For It Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wait For It, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
The Wait For It Tailgate Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Third and three at the five. They're going to hand the ball left side. Here's Bijan Robinson. Touchdown, Atlanta. Bijan Robinson on a quick snap. Score standing.
Three receivers and Bijan Robinson. Quick toss to Robinson. Left side, Bijan inside the five. Bangs into the end zone for the Atlanta touchdown.
Bijan and Tyler combined for three touchdowns on the ground last week in the win over the Carolina Panthers. Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show as the Falcons go for four in a row. Hosting the Seattle Seahawks, John Frick and Joe Patrick with you outside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium in lot 432, corner of, just across the corner of Northside and Markham here as the Falcons get ready to take on Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks. And now a chance for us to talk a little bit about what's going on with this team here. We spent a little bit of time in the opening segment talking about, you know, the offense kind of finding its sea legs here. The defense, on the other hand, of course, still just the five sacks. Jimmy Lake, Joe, said he is the defensive coordinator of the Falcons, of course. He said about the Falcons' lack of pass rush, he said, quote, "We're getting close. The process our guys are going to is correct. We have to trust the results are going to come." How come I should trust the results are going to come?
I don't know. Maybe you have confidence in the players themselves. I don't know. I'm frankly at the point where I don't want to just pump smoke up, you know, people like to tell them it's going to be okay when it might not. frankly, this defense just has to show it. Like, and that's what Jimmy Lake has been saying. He's been saying that, like you said, we're on the right process, and we just have to trust that the sacks are going to come, the players are going to win their one-on-ones and get to the quarterback. But I'll believe it when I see it. You know, that's kind of how I feel. And I think that's how a lot of Falcons fans feel. Because this pass rush has pretty much reverted back to what it was in 21-22 when it was – without a doubt, the worst in the league, where you're averaging about one sack per game, which is about half as much as maybe the next best team. So it's got to improve drastically, that's for sure. And it's just an unsustainable way to play football. It's a testament to the team that they are 4-2 to this point, considering that they haven't been able to pressure the quarterback so much this season. But you can only win for so long when that happens. In a quarterback-driven league, you gotta affect those guys.
You know, and then Raheem comes out and says, well, you know, Arnold Ebiketie is getting close. He's, you know, well, a lot of pressures. And all I could say is Arnold Ebiketie is 2024 for Tack McKinley. I mean, that's just 2024 speak for that guy.
Right, yeah. I mean,
what's the difference between Arnold Ebiketie and Tack McKinley? The answer is nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what you're getting. Nothing. I mean, I don't want to hear about moving quarterbacks off spots or pressures. I want to see quarterbacks on the ground. I want to see us. I don't know. I asked this question. Did a talk show Tuesday night, and I was asking the question. This is what I wanted to get to with you. I know you and I talked about it Tuesday night, but for the benefit of the audience that didn't hear that show here, is there a scheme issue here with Jimmy Lake in terms of the Falcons? Do they have to dial up more? Caden Ellis has no sacks. D. Alford has one sack. He has one sack more than Lorenzo Carter, who's out today and now on the IR, and Caden Ellis and Arnold Ebiketie, all these guys combined, because they have zero.
Yeah, yeah.
Harrison, zero.
And I see a lot of people say, well, you know, we need to dial up more blitzes. This team has blitzes at 31% rate, which is the seventh most in the NFL. So they are bringing blitzers. So it's not that. It's guys winning their rushes. And you say you don't want to mention pressures. I do, because they also have the second fewest pressures in the NFL by two. They have the worst pressure rate in the NFL on a per play basis. So not only are they not sacking the quarterback, that's not the bigger problem, but what reinforces the low sack numbers is the fact that they aren't even getting the pressure numbers either. So it's not a situation like last year where there were some questions about getting to the quarterback, even though they got to the quarterback way more last year than they have in really the last handful, or really the last decade, honestly. But that was middle of the tier, middle of the pack in the NFL. But those coaches would say, but our pressure rate is still very, very high, which it was. And this year they're just not even getting the pressures. They're blitzing. So it makes you wonder, like, is Grady Jarrett still able to win in the ways that he used to before the injury? Lorenzo Carter has gone on IR now as of yesterday, which was a surprise move. He was initially questionable with an illness. Then that got changed to a concussion. And then now he's going on IR because of that. You wonder if there maybe have been some lingering effects of something that have happened so far this year. But he's been one of the worst graded pass rushers by PFF's numbers. Actually, was at least the worst as of a couple weeks ago after the Carolina game. I think he's second to worst in the NFL. Here's the other one, though, John. Matthew Judon, out of 115 edge rushers that qualify under PFF stats, Matthew Judon is 104th.
Well, all right. I'm going to defend Matthew Judon, all right? And the reason I'm going to defend him is because if you're an offensive coordinator, you're loading up to stop 15 because you don't have to worry about Zach Harrison or Arnold Ebiketie or anybody else on the other side.
Yep.
So you're going to chip, you're going to double, you're going to take that guy out, you're going to make him, because one of the things we've seen is he's made some disruptive plays.
Yeah, he has.
Now, also last week it was good to see, even though he didn't have a sack, Grady was behind the line making plays. He made a couple of TFLs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that was like, oh, great. Because I ain't called his name all year. I'm like, oh, there's 97. Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know, let's see him make a few more plays here. Really, this boils down to a couple of things. Do we have the right personnel? And with all the players, you know, a lot of fans are saying, why isn't Terry Fontenot making a move? I don't know if it's going to be as bold as you would say for Hassan Reddick. But why aren't you making a move? If you don't have the players who can make a difference out here, at what point do you say, okay, enough, we're not getting anything out of – and what happened to Zach Harrison? At the end of the year last year, the last four games of the year, I'm projecting Zach Harrison to take this huge, gigantic jump this year, and he's been persona non grata.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that's confusing me, because I actually think when I look at some of the film, I actually think he's playing pretty well when he plays, but he's just not getting the reps. He is not getting reps. Ruka Roro obviously only came into the team, got his first snaps, what, a couple weeks ago. I think the E's look very good when he's played, but he's just not getting that many reps.
Right.
You know, something that Ryan Nielsen did as the defensive coordinator last year was, and this kind of got a lot of pub, but they were doing these kind of hockey line shifts is the right way that they referred to it. And they would take off the starters for a lot of plays, and they would give, you know, an entire defensive series to these other guys. And I think that this team needs some more rotation. I don't know if it necessarily has to be you swap out the entire defensive line for a period of plays, but I do think that it would help a guy like Grady Jarrett to just have some more plays off. I know he doesn't want to come off the field as the kind of competitor that he is. I don't know if many of those guys do want to come off the field, but it might be good for them to have some other guys come in and, you know, spell them for a bit and allows those guys to come attack fresh on offensive lines. Because that's the only way that those guys are going to improve, too, is if they get the reps on the field.
Yeah, because if you look at the back six, back seven, however they're going to play it, you know, in dime situations, I think it's fair to say that the Falcons, and we saw it a little bit last week, both with A.J. Terrell and with Clark Phillips, and in the past, of course, you know, we'll see if Simmons can go today, but Simmons and Bates and Dee Alford, that defensive secondary has played fairly well.
Yeah.
And the linebacking core, if you can get Anderson back, is okay. I need to see more out of Caden Ellis, but having Lamon back, I'm not going to really so much worry about the linebackers because it's really about those front four. You know, can they get pressure by themselves without having to shoot a safety, without having to shoot a corner, without having to have a linebacker fill in and opening up the middle for a tight end? And one-on-one, they just don't see. And you've got good guys. Joe, I got to tell you, I think Lorenzo Carter, I think it's over. I think it's over. And it might be close to over for Onyemata. I mean, I just think that he's not having the impact here. Maybe Aurora, maybe you just got to go with the younger legs. I don't know, but you're going to have to find something here. Obviously, you're not going to have Braylon get him this year.
I think that has actually hurt them a lot more than people kind of – you just don't think about Braylon Trice because that was in the preseason, so you kind of put it behind you. I think that really has affected what they had planned.
And Brandon Dorlus hasn't popped yet.
Yep.
And so – I don't know what the answer is up front, but they're getting, the worst thing to me almost in the sacks is how they sometimes get just shoved off the ball on run plays.
Yeah.
That's more concerning to me. I mean, they get shoved back.
They get moved, yeah. That defensive line gets moved, and they just get blocked up. And this team, I think they're seventh or eighth in the league at their light box percentage, which basically means they having six players in the box or less. They're in the top half of the league in that respect, so that hurts them in the run game as well. I gotta say, John, while we're talking about the defense just in general, as bad as the pass rush has been this year, and it's been the worst in the league, this team is still middle of the pack defensively against the pass, and that's because of the secondary, which has been really good. They're third in the NFL in limiting yards after catch, so they're sure tacklers in the secondary. They take ball carriers down when they receive passes. So that's at least something to hang your hat on. And I do think that it is what Raheem Morris is prioritizing. Again, when you think about the light boxes, the reason why they have a light box is because they're prioritizing covering guys out there. And we have seen guys like Jalen Hurts. You know, he's got a ton of time back there to just pat the ball, and there's nobody open. So at least you have that. And the next step, obviously, is to just build that rush aspect of the defense.
Yeah, and you made a really good point about how in the first few weeks of the year they were playing contain quarterbacks and Justin Fields and Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. You had to kind of contain them as opposed to last week. But last week you had a statue back there and you couldn't get to him.
Yeah, and not only did he get – they got to him one time and Andy Dalton shakes you off and runs for 20 yards.
Right.
I mean, you cannot let that happen. That was Lorenzo Carter.
That brings up a third problem. Okay. So no lack of pass rush here. Getting shoved off the ball. I think the tackling has been suspect. There's a lot of arm tackling, it seems, and a lot of shedding of tackling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't see our guys. You watch a team. You watch a really good football team, like you watched Georgia last night, for example, in college football. Not that Georgia's better than the Falcons. But you watch a team that's really good in college football, and they're just planting people on the ground. You get a little bit of that from our linebackers in our second, but you don't see that necessarily with our – we're not wrapping guys up.
Yeah, especially in the run game, and like I was just saying, I think the secondary guys are actually tackling pretty well against the pass catchers, but yeah, I agree. And I think part of the reason is because they are playing with those light boxes and their front is getting blocked up a lot, and sometimes it's hard to actually make the tackle while you're kind of getting partially blocked by a guy. You're just not really giving yourself a lot of, you know, wiggle room, so room for error, basically. Those extra bodies in the box that can help clean, be those cleanup tackler kinds of guys. They just don't seem to have them, so when there is a broken tackle, it's a lot of extra yards they're giving up.
Well, again, this goes back to the discussion to me. Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, John Fricke and Joe Patrick, here on Northside Drive in Markham. As we get things cranked up, you can hear the music going, got all the smoke rolling, and it's going to be a fun day as the Falcons go for four in a row. But it goes back to the discussion we were having about Raheem Morris, where I have a lot of faith in Raheem Morris. I have a lot of faith in Terry Fontenot. I know some people don't. I don't know why. I can argue with him. I think he's done a really good job of building this roster up and putting this team in the position that it's in. But I do have questions about the coordinators, and I think that Jimmy Lake is going to have to answer some questions, too. We talk a lot about Zach Robinson, but it's time to talk about Jimmy Lake. And maybe Raheem needs to put a little bit more of his thumbprint. I know you say he doesn't want to tell his suggestions, but at some point, I got to think that maybe he's going to have to put his thumbprint down on Jimmy Lake and say, look, we've got to find a formula that works for us because this isn't working the way we want it to.
Yep. Ultimately, it's on Raheem. He takes ultimate accountability.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. It is a Falcons football Sunday as they go for four in a row. We'll take a look around the league here in the NFL as we count down towards 11 o'clock in the network pregame show. 1 o'clock kick between the Falcons and Seahawks on your home of the Falcons. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We're challenging everybody. If you're going to get out there and beat us, you're going to have to beat us, you know?
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Just talking to some of the folks here as we get ready for the game today. Fans are starting to file in here. John Fricke, Joe Patrick live with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we count down to Geno Smith, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Atlanta Falcons today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Look around the NFL here as we check in with the league on this week number six here and get ready for this game today here. As we get ready for this, I do want to say that before we talk about week six, Joe, I want to go back to the beginning of week six before we talk about today and talk about Thursday night, where the Swampers scored 27. Now, get that, 27 points in one quarter and still got their kicked.
Yeah, that was shocking. That was shocking. You know, on Sunday I was up in Carolina covering the Falcons game, so I was kind of, I caught the beginning of the game, and then I went to the stadium and then saw the score. What a crazy game. I didn't rewatch it, so I still don't quite know exactly how that happened, but man.
Well, it happened because the Swamper defense was moving.
You should see John. He's like giddy. He's like almost jumping out of his chair talking about this. It's great.
Well, because there were a couple of records that were set in this game, okay? Number one, Sean Payton beats his old team, becomes the seventh head coach in the history of the NFL to beat all 32 teams. The other record that was set, well, that's ties a record. The other record that was tied, because only two teams have done it, the Dallas Cowboys back in 1960-something, and the Swampers this year, who were the only two teams in the history of the NFL to win their first two games by at least 20 points, and then follow that up with five straight losses.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I was actually talking about the game on Sunday where they gave up 51 points, and then, yeah, that was a utter crap show on Thursday night, I think is the way that we can say it on the radio. What a disaster. Goes to show you, by the way, just the value of a quarterback who's not going to turn the ball over.
Was that what it was?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah, it was just that was a classic
Denver
Thursday night.
I mean, yeah, it was one thing to, you know, get beat 51 to 27.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally collapsed. And then you turn around 4 days later and you lose to Denver at home by 23.
Yeah, there were some funny jokes about going around on Thursday night saying, you know, there have been the Thursday night games have been too good the last couple of weeks with the Falcons over the Bucks kicking that one off, and then I even forget what the one following was, but it was a good game, and then they needed one of those crap games for a Thursday night football game again. So they got it.
I mean, the good news for the Swampers, as I said, is that they're still a half game ahead of Carolina.
Wow. Wow. That says a lot. That says a lot.
Football is already being played today. This look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield. Hatfield says put pork on your fork. Well, we got We got, I guess, NFL football in England today in Britain. The Patriots and Jaguars are scoreless early in the game. If there could be a worse game.
I forgot it was on.
It was. What's an anti-flex? Like, we're going to anti-flex the worst game in the NFL at 9:30 in the morning and fly him over.
It's called a flaccid. Is that what it's called? A flex.
Oh my God. Patriots 1-5, Jaguars 1-5. Good news is one of them has to be 2-5.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
but
my God.
John, we got some interesting slate of games today because we got some big time players playing for some different teams after a crazy week of NFL news with Devontae Adams going to the Jets and Amari Cooper going to the Bills. I'm interested to see how those guys work out on their new teams.
Yeah. No kidding. Let's go down the list here again. We'll keep you updated on the Patriots and Jags just for all you degenerate bettors out there, because I can't imagine anybody really cares. Matter of fact, if you're a fan of both of those teams, you're probably rooting for your team to lose because you want a better draft pick, because you're done for.
Yeah.
You know,
and
1-5, you're already done. Also today, 1 o'clock games, Titans at the Bills. So let's talk a little bit about the impact there in that Titan Bill game and how things are going to change with this move.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect the Bills to kind of go from strength to strength, and you know, adding a player in Amari Cooper. You know, they really needed a receiver in that group. They drafted Keon Coleman in the draft, but he has not been great, even though he had a big play for a touchdown last week. But I think that when you add Amari Cooper to that mix, that's going to open up Coleman even more, probably get him some better cornerback matchups to work against. And, you know, Josh Allen's going to make things happen all the time. So I would expect the Bills to roll in that one. The Titans are going with a backup quarterback. Mason Rudolph will start, as Will Levis is out, I think, with a shoulder. So rough times for the Titans as well. They got to kind of rethink things at the quarterback position.
Well, the Battle of Ohio isn't much of a battle. The Bengals are 2-4 in the year. The Browns are 1-5 and woeful. Is Deshaun Watson, are we getting to a critical point here with everything on and off the field that this is the worst acquisition in the history of the NFL?
Yes, yeah, I think so. I think we can safely say that. Because
how big a bullet did we dodge?
No kidding, right? It's like, yeah, it's scary to think about where we would be right now had that whole deal happened. So, yeah, thank your lucky stars. But the worst offense in the league, the Browns. One of the worst offenses that we've seen in recent memory, to be perfectly honest. And that's with the most expensive quarterback in the league when you talk about his contract plus the compensation that you had to give up to acquire
him. His cap hit next year is $75 million.
That's
his cap hit next year.
It's comical.
Hey, you can't even get out from underneath it. You know, you could go out and draft a rookie quarterback.
It's all guaranteed. It's all guaranteed.
You're going to have a backup with a $75 million cap hit sitting on the bench.
Yep. Yep, oof. That's probably what they should do. Yeah, I mean, I they should not continue to start him. Yeah. They gotta do something.
Right. I don't know how you massage that. All right. So, bad jokes aside, Texans are at 5-1 against the Packers, 4-2 in
Green
Bay. Great
game.
Great
today.
Game. This ought to have been a flexed game.
Yeah.
Jordan Love is back. He's looking pretty good. C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love didn't have that necessarily pegged a couple of years ago as a great quarterback matchup, but boy, it really is. And I think that quietly, the Houston Texans, everybody expected it to be pretty good. Joe, they may be a Super Bowl threat.
Yeah, yeah. They're one of those teams to me that is just, they kind of, it's been a slow burn for them, but they just continue to progress and progress. And, you know, C.J. Stroud just continues to deliver. And I think we knew he was a very quality, you know, high-end, one of the top quarterbacks in the league after his rookie year, but he's just continuing to show, I think, a different level of maturity this year in kind of, just not overextending himself too much in the field and just taking things one game at a time. I'm a little surprised Green Bay's a 3-point favorite in this game, considering how effective Texans have looked so far this year.
Well, Jordan Love's played pretty well.
Yeah, he has.
He's coming back. He's obviously healthy. Lambeau is a tough place to play. Hey, have you ever been to Lambeau?
I've never been. I'd love to go there.
Yeah, you should. I didn't expect it to be as cool as it is.
Hmm.
I'm not a Packers fan, but I fell in love with Lambeau.
Yeah.
I just think it's just like going to Wrigley Field if you've never been.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, or Fenway Park. It just drips with history. It's a cool place. Yeah, it's old, but I loved it.
It's funny. I actually saw a video on Twitter this week that was like somebody just filming driving in their car on the way to Lambeau, and it's like house stadium.
Yeah.
There's a Lambeau Field. It's right in the middle of the neighborhood.
I park at the True Value Hardware in the strip mall a block away.
Yeah, yeah. You know? That's great. So, football should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Patriots are taking the 7-0 lead, by the way, over the Jags.
Oh, there you go. Hey, listen, that game's over. The Dolphins are at the Colts today. Indianapolis gets Anthony Richardson back, so I think that they're, you know, have a chance maybe to make a playoff run. The Dolphins, I don't know where they're going. They did say that Tua Tagovailoa could play as early as a month from now, so yep. I don't know. We'll see how that kind of works out for them. Lions at the Vikings is the game of the day. This is where we don't have flex early in the year. It's too bad because this game should have been flexed to the primetime game.
Everyone needs to be seeing this game.
Yeah, the Lions at 4-1, the Vikings at 5-0. I think so far this year, I don't know how you would argue anything else that Kevin O'Connell has been the coach of the year. I don't know how you do it.
I agree.
5-0 without Kirk Cousins.
I totally agree. I think he's the best coach in football right now. I mean, like, and what he did against the Falcons even last year with Josh Dobbs kind of coaching him up in the middle of a game. Guy has an incredible ability to get his team and his quarterback especially ready to play. To be undefeated with Sam Darnold at this point is a testament to just how good he's been. And it'll be interesting to see what this Lions team looks like without Aiden Hutchinson. You know, right. That's a brutal, brutal injury. Probably the best pass rusher in the NFL so far this year, who's having an absolutely dominant season. You hate to see that happen to one of the stars in the league, but how do they, you know, recuperate from that?
Eagles are at the Giants. Saw a stat here that it's been something like Daniel Jones hasn't thrown a touchdown at home in, I don't know how long.
Yeah.
216 passes or something. I don't know. It was some ridiculous, like, what? You know, it's been how long?
The last one was in, like, 2022 or something.
Or something like that. Yeah. It's like, what? It's been, what? I mean, yeah. So, this is a game that most Giants fans probably hope they lose, even though they hate the Eagles, because they got to figure out a way to get a quarterback there because yeah. Not named Daniel Jones.
And for the Eagles, I feel like it's one you got to assert your dominance in a game like this. But will they? Are they dominant? I don't think they are.
I think they have to win this game.
Yeah, I know.
Because if they're 3-3, they're going to start. Nick Sirianni's already starting to get some pressure there anyway. You know, and so, I don't know, we'll see here. We're talking about what's going on in the NFL right now, and this look around the NFL also brought to you by Wade Ford, because it is sponsored by The Breakfast Sauce. And the W Sauce, the breakfast sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. So good you'll want breakfast all day. Visit thewsauce.com to find a breakfast sauce retailer near you. All right, later on this afternoon, Panthers are at the Commanders. We could use a little bit of help from Carolina. Falcons, because of the Commanders' loss last week, moved into the number two slot currently in the NFC playoff standings here. I don't know, I mean, why at this point, if you're the Panthers, you would not play Bryce Young for the remainder of the year. Just put him in there, and because you got to find out. I mean, can this guy play quarterback or not? Even if he can't, what? We're going to lose with him. Good.
yeah. It's tough. I understand where the dilemma comes for a coach, and it's probably, you know, it's tough. If you were to ask the GM, that maybe the GM would like for Bryce Young to play, but, you know, a coach is always going to want to defer to what gives this team the best chance to win, because when you're a coach, you're around a locker room full of players, professionals, veterans who have been in this league for a long time, and they want to win too. And so I think there's a push and pull of like, how do I give this team the best chance to win? How do I give the vets on this team, how do I feel like they're invested in actually winning football games?
Wait a second. Did I miss it? Is Andy Dalton? I mean, I know he won a game, but I mean, is he really lighting it up enough that you couldn't justify going back to Bryce Young?
Yeah, I mean, the results haven't been there, to your point. So, they could justify it for sure. But and you're right. They probably should play Bryce Young or trade him. Do one of the two. But you got to make a decision
somehow.
Nobody
wants him.
I know. That's the thing.
That's the problem. Nobody wants him. And so you've got to have to play him to increase his value if you could trade him. And then you're also in the, you know, Cam Ward business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Chiefs are at the Niners. Chiefs going to try to go to 6-0 on the year. The Niners are 3-3. Lost a little bit of luster because the Niners are so banged up. Man, that franchise has been beset by injuries over the last couple, 3 years, more so than anybody else. And this year, they're really taking a toll. I think they played really well last week, despite all of it. I don't know what the Niners have in the tank right now until they can get somewhat healthier. But the Chiefs are 5-0 by the kind of like the will of force or something. Because I don't think that they are – they've not looked like a 5-0. Heck, the Falcons should have beat them.
I know, yeah. And some other teams could have too. It's interesting, the 49ers are actually point-and-a-half favorites here. They're at home, so basically in Vegas you would think that they're about even, despite the Niners being 3-3 at this point in the year. It's a good litmus test for where these teams are at this point.
Raiders are at the Rams today in another 4 o'clock game. The 8:20 game tonight, which really ought to be Lions and Vikings, is Jets and Steelers. Big news there is George Pickens coming out and saying, Hey, I'm getting ready for Russ to throw me because Russ and I are working it out because he's starting this week and everybody went, wait, what?
I mean, they would put it out there that he was getting first-team snaps and everything that he could play, but then, yeah, George Pickens just cut through all the BS and just let us all know. So thank you, George. That's nice. we'll see how he does. I mean, it's kind of an unprecedented situation to pull a quarterback who's led you to a 4-2 record in the first six games of the season, but I thought Justin Fields actually showed some real maturity in saying the right things about the whole situation afterwards, saying that, hey, if I would have been better, this wouldn't be a debate.
Monday Night Football's got a doubleheader this week. We are Lamar Jackson fans. Go, Lamar, go. Go, Lamar, go. Go, Lamar, go. As Lamar and the Ravens go down to the Buccaneers in Tampa. And then the Chargers and the Cardinals, the late Monday night game. Two byes this week, the Bears and the Cowboys, or as folks in Dallas call it, a week that we didn't lose.
A reprieve, yeah.
real quick here, just in about 90 seconds. Robert Slaw out at New York, he was the first, of this group, of Gerard Mayo with the Patriots, Doug Peterson with the Jaguars, Mike McCarthy with the Cowboys, Brian Callahan with the Titans, Kevin Stefanski with the Browns, Dennis Allen with the Saints, and now Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins. Again, Mayo, Peterson, McCarthy, Callahan, Stefanski, Allen, and McDaniel. Do any of those guys get fired during the season?
Yes. Yeah.
And who's the next to go?
I think it'll be Dennis Allen in New Orleans. I think that there's not any kind of goodwill in the fan base for him. I think that if you were to ask Saints fans, they almost all want him gone. They just want somebody new. And there's not like financial ties. There's nothing really holding the New Orleans back from doing that. I think he's in the last year of his deal, so I would expect him to be the first one.
All right,
to go.
I'm going to make a big bold prediction. I think you're right. That's who I would have said, and this is not anti-swap or hate or anything like that. I think it happens tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, very well. I think some people were expecting it after their last Thursday night game. Was it Thursday night?
Yeah.
Whatever their last game was, yeah.
You don't lose at home to the Broncos by 23.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're out. We're just going
to
change this.
And they would have had that mini bye to kind of potentially get a new coach in there. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. It could happen any game.
It is the Wait For It Tailgate Show live from Lot 432 Northside in Markham as we're counting down to the Falcons and Seahawks today on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.